The reading this morning is Lessons from Memphis by Christopher Noxon. He writes, 2 days after the election, I was in Memphis running on fumes, on the third stop of a book tour that suddenly felt inconsequential. But there I was in a new city with a free day. So I took myself downtown to the Civil Rights Museum. It seemed the Civil Rights Museum has a lot to say about this historic moment and lessons to teach. Lessons like they were brave. They stood up to bigots who preached hate and stood up to moderates who urged caution. They were focused. They didn't protest individuals. They protested specific injustices, the seat on the bus, the lunch counter, the classroom, the wages of the garbage collector. They were prepared. They studied Gandhi and Thoreau. They trained in nonviolence. Rosa Parks was not just a worn-out seamstress who had had enough. She was a prepared and trained activist, backed by an organization with specific tactics and a team of attorneys. They were faithful. Civil rights was born in the Baptist Church, guided by redemption stories and supported by church communities. People of all faiths played important roles. They disagreed. Plenty of friction was felt among various factions of the movement. There were brawls over nonviolence, party politics, and the roles of women and whites. They transcended politics. Civil rights was a movement, not a party. It appealed to higher values than party platforms or minorities. They were joyous. Protests were drenched in song, gospel, and folk, filling city streets and jail cells with music of hope and freedom. The lessons are there for the learning. We face an uncertain future. We have reasons to be afraid. But as I was reminded in Memphis, we've faced far worse before. We have a manual of resistance. We have models of courage and clarity. We have the playbook. Yes, we have the playbook from Martin Luther King Jr. and the Civil Rights Movement, from Native American spiritual leaders and Standing Rock, from Thoreau and Gandhi, and so many more. Many of us marched yesterday in the Women's March in Washington and in Boston, and in over 670 marches around the world. We marched. It was amazing. But now what? Was that a moment, or is this a movement? And how will we take care of ourselves and each other as we can follow the playbook and the manual of resistance? Not for one action, one day, one week, or even one year, but until it is settled. My UU values call me to resist attacks on democracy, to resist racism, bullying, anti-Semitism, voter suppression, environmental harm, mistreatment of immigrants, corporate personhood, homophobia, ableism, authoritarianism, and the patriarchy. But even just listing those opportunities to respond is a bit exhausting. If we are physically, emotionally, or spiritually exhausted, how will we be brave, focused, prepared, faithful, Remember, we'll sometimes disagree. Transcend politics and be joyous. You know, the playbook. As flight attendants say, in case of an emergency, reach up and pull down your own oxygen mask first, and only then assist others. The first thing we're going to need are some spiritual or daily or at least regular practices, ways to relax and recharge. Prayer, meditation, perhaps a focused meditation like the one that we just did. Walk in nature, walk the labyrinth, sing. Practices that are bigger than the crisis of the moment. Do what guides and supports your way. This difficult and beautiful path is our path, if only we can honor it and ourselves with the compassion and nurture that it deserves. To get through this time without burning ourselves out, which helps neither us nor the movement, requires that when we get tired, we learn to rest, not to quit. That way we won't be paralyzed by fear and overwhelmed by the number of challenges we face. My spiritual practice have helped me to see that I need to focus on two action areas, because I do not need to, nor can I do it all. I will do my part, and I have faith that others will do theirs. I will focus on standing with vulnerable groups. I'll also focus on a couple of institutions of democracy, a free press, and our justice system. I consider this an opportunity to deepen and act on my faith. Something else that we'll need is to know right now that you and I won't do this perfectly. We fear change, being out of our own comfort zone, and of attempting something at which we may fail. But we can't let that keep us from acting. The future is uncertain, and so is our role. We'll need to pay attention and to make adjustments as this evolves. At the rate Congress is moving, we may need a rapid response team to counter the legislative blitzkrieg. Our pride should not keep us from being followers when that is what is needed, because we are all in this together. We'll also need communities that sustain us. First Parish would be a good example, I hope. Engage in groups, courses, and activities that sustain you. Sign up for our social action newsletter and find out what we and other congregations and organizations are doing, and join in. Part of the solution to our need for community can be online communities, be they social or social action oriented. But we also need to actually leave our homes, to go out and talk to people face to face, to get out from behind our computers, find an organization that shares our passion, and get organized to take action. The UUA has prepared a declaration of conscience, stating in the strongest possible terms our commitment to in these troubling times. By signing the declaration, individuals and congregations will be affirming our core values and declaring our willingness to put them into action. There are some copies of the declaration by the doors of the sanctuary for those who don't use computers. I'd ask the rest of you to please go to uua.org, review it, and sign it if you so choose. Elie Wiesel said, "We must always take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. Silence encourages the tormentor, never the tormented. May we unify around justice and cultivate spiritual resistance, a response based on our values in a way that is healthy, balanced, and sustainable. If we must be changed by this, may it be for the good. If we must be changed, may it be by the fierce power of joy and commitment. If we must be changed, may it be to cherish ever more deeply our dependence on one another. This we pray in the name of all that is sacred."